You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Fantastic. Would you stand to your feet, please? As those of you who are part of our church would be familiar, we often stand when we're reading from the Word of God. And this part of our service is where we're going to focus exclusively on the words of Scripture. It says this in Ecclesiastes. This is like one of what they call the wisdom books in the Old Testament. And it says this in chapter 4. It says, two are better than one. All right, I'm with you. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And these last few words go from one to two and now to three, because it says a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you speak to us in this service today as we come around your word? I thank you that you have something specific for each one of us that you want to say, from those who are brand new to the idea of faith right through to those who've been running this race and living this life of faith for many years, that you've always got something new. So God, help us to receive that which you have prepared for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can take your seats. Why don't we thank the worship team? Thanks so much, guys, for helping us today. They will be back in just a few short minutes. Where we're heading is we're going to be back up on our feet and we're going to create a moment for us to acknowledge the final words of that passage that I just read, which is that two may be better than one, but three is even better than two. And the third part of that formula, that combination, we're believing is God. And so we're going to come back into the presence of God. In other words, we're going to have a moment of worship where we just hold our hands up on the first day of the week and just give the week to Jesus. Is that okay? Fantastic. Well, you heard from Pastor Glyn and Sophia about our vision as a church. Our church is one that will make a statement. That's what we believe. Growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. And for the last 18 years, we've been trying to respond to what God is both saying and doing. And in all of that, we've seen God do some incredible things. Now, we are on the edge of a brand new chapter, a brand new season. You can read the words of Isaiah that say, you know, can you see I'm doing a new thing? You can read that at any time in your life and it will always be true, because God has not run out of ideas. He's not doing reruns of old stories. He's got something fresh and new for me and you today. That's what we're saying. So we always live in a perpetual state of being on the edge of something new, and we don't apologize for that. But we have spent the last 6 weeks, studying this one scripture, not the one I read, that was for today's message, and we'll come back to it. But really, the sort of meta-narrative, the macro theme of the last 6 weeks has been from Psalm 18. It says in verse 19 of Psalm 18, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And we've been considering that word from God to us as a church. And not just as a corporate gathering, but also to you as individuals and to you and as families. We believe that God is bringing us, both as a church and you as an individual, into a new space where he is going to do more than you've experienced in the past. your current reality and the story so far is not the defining factor on tomorrow. The word of God is the defining factor on tomorrow. So whatever the past has held, whatever today you might hold in your heart, God has got something more for you. We've talked about, for the last 6 weeks, as we've explored the scripture from Psalm 18, God bringing us into a spacious place. We've talked about space for purpose and space for vision and space for the generations. And today's message, based on the passage that I did read from Ecclesiastes, is called Space for Others. Space for Others. The reason why is because we believe that people matter to God. Full disclosure, full honesty, I am an extrovert. I know it's not very cool these days. It's cooler to be sort of moody and quiet and sit up the corner. But I am a full extrovert. And I'm okay with it because I think me being a people person actually reflects what the church is and ultimately what the heart of God is. I'm not saying that God has an extroverted personality type. And if you like that, you're more like God. I'm just saying people matter to God. People matter. I'm a people person. God is a people God. And our church is a people church. We're led by Jesus. We believe that God is on the throne, is in the driving seat of our church. But we recognize that the mandate he's given us is not just for the people in this room. Open your eyes and look around the people in this room. Look at them. Come on, look at them. Tell them they look nice. Tell them you like their outfit. There you go. God is bringing us as a church into a spacious place so that we can have space for others. But also, as well as opening your eyes and looking down the row, I want you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine the faces that aren't in this room. Think about the 3.1 million people who live in Greater Manchester, whose hearts may be broken, whose hearts may be troubled, whose hearts may be heavy, because they, as yet, have not met a Savior called Jesus. And so, as well as more space for us, there's also more space for, perhaps you could say, them, as we imagine our friends, our family members, our work colleagues, people who you pass on your commute to work, because God is creating a spacious place and it's not just for us, it's for others. And even that word applied individually to you, you need to recognize that when God brings some increase into your life, some space into your life, it's not just for you, it's to increase your capacity for others. Two are better than one, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're not just a charitable organization. We're not just a noble cause or a missional endeavor. We're not just a center for theological discussion or contemporary expression of traditional truths. This is the house of God, and we are the family of God, and we're the only family that I know of that's always trying to get more people to be part of the family. Is it okay if we have a look at what I believe is God's heart for us as a church, 1 week out from our Vision Sunday next Sunday, and taking a moment to recognize through that passage of scripture that I read, is that this is going to be, this, what we're doing, is going to be, or continue to be, a space, not just for us, but for others. There's five different things that I took from this passage in Ecclesiastes. And the fifth one, I've already told you, is a moment where we're going to stand together. The band are going to come back up. We're going to have a moment of just putting God right in the middle, right in the center, right on the throne, right behind the steering wheel. Choose your metaphor. God is the most important. But before we do that, I want you to consider for a moment the spacious place that God is bringing both you and your family and your friends and us as a church into, and recognize that because people matter to God, this space is for others, not just you, not just me, not just our group of friends, but in actual fact for this whole city and beyond. And let's face it, every city where Audacious Church meets, 7 different locations meeting all today, and God is expanding all of those, and there will be future cities that God puts on our heart, but it will all be about introducing other people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who turned my life upside down and can do the same for you. That's what we're here for. So, taking from this scripture, five things. The first thing is this, is that God is bringing us into a spacious place, and it's a space for connection. Connection. A space for connection. It starts with the words, two are better than one. Two are better than one. This is Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, at a time of peace, reflecting on the history of humanity and seeing a theme that is both reflected in how we've behaved, but also how he's seen God come through again and again. Because it's not just, it doesn't start here in this verse, it actually starts all the way back at the start of the story of God, it recorded in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. I don't know if you realise, but in Genesis chapter 2, I don't know, I'm putting them on because I can't see when I've got them on down here. I need them to see you. Just let me look at you for a minute. I'd say 50% looking happy, 30% confused, 20% asleep. Great. Not bad odds. No, I'm just kidding. Space for connection. Genesis chapter 2 is the first recorded moment where the Bible says that God says something is not good. He spends 5 days creating the heavens and the earth, and every day closes with the phrase, and God saw it and he said it was good. And he created, you know, the plants and the trees and the animals, and he saw them and he said it was good. And then he did this and he saw it and he said it was good. But then on day 6, the Bible talks about how God created man, and at the end of that day he actually said for the first time that it wasn't good. And he wasn't talking about man not being good. He was talking about man being alone, not being good. And this is, again, the sort of like foundational understanding for this message about people mattering and about this space being for others, is because God saw a deficit in man's solitary condition, and in his wisdom ordained the creation of another, not just as a helper, but as the means by which true communion and relational fullness could be realized. The word that is used for helper, it says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. The word helper in the original text, I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do, some of you, well, the Bible was not written in English. And so when we read an English translation, it's taken from something. And the original word, the Hebrew word that's translated into helper, is ezer, and it means to be strong, to rescue, and to save. And all the girls said, yes, we are. But God saw a deficit in isolation and decided to bring something that wasn't the same. It was different, but of the same kind. It was of the same kind, but different. And so what he created for the first time was a reflection of how the Trinity is, of how the Godhead is that from at that point when man was on his own, it wasn't reflecting God. And so God created something else, someone else. And in that moment, we see the heart of God exploded onto creation, that two are better than one. You know, we have a culture of radical individualism that has been cultivated over the last 10 years in this nation. We appointed our first minister for loneliness back in 2018. Surveys tell us that 27% of adults report feeling lonely often, always, or some of the time. 4 in 10, 16 to 29-year-olds report feeling lonely. And as a church, we have to do something about it. We have to receive the mandate from God that this space that God is bringing us into is not just for us. It's actually for others. Two are better than one. This is going to be a space for connection, because people matter to God. It goes on to say that they will be two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. This is interesting, because it basically is saying that two are better than one, but two are out of work than one. And so we have to recognize that this is not just a space for connection, but it's also a space for healing. That's the second point from this scripture. It's going to be a space where people can connect and know God for the first time and know each other for the first time. And people in this city will know that if they've got to connect with something meaningful and purposeful, they've just got to find the way to a church. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're prophesying over not just our church, but any church in this city. And I have the privilege of knowing many of the pastors of churches in this city, and they're all standing with us as we do this, our vision, in the same way that we do with them. I had coffee with a pastor this week from one of the churches in Manchester, and he was like, oh, you know, we've just been praying for your church. We've just been believing for your church. Me and my wife have been praying and fasting for your church. And I was like, flipping heck, oh, better start praying for your church. I already was. It's just a gag. But you've got to recognize that this space is not just for connection. It's also a space for healing. It says they have a good return for their labor. In other words, when you do have two rather than one, it is hard work or harder work. You know, Ephesians in the New Testament says these words, Paul writing to Christians, new believers in this church that he started. He says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Another version says we are God's handiwork. Another version says we are God's masterpiece. In other words, we are a work in progress. Look at the person next to you and say, you're looking at a masterpiece in progress. Turn to the other side and say, you are a piece of work. Some of you said that a little bit too enthusiastically. If you're watching online, just type in the chat. Uh-oh, it's getting scary in church. Every person that we create space for in our lives and in the vision of our church, we have to recognize that there is often a season, and we've all been through it, and I'm not prophesying doom, but we probably all will need to go through it again, is where we need some time to heal. And I've always loved that about our church. Maybe it's the growing sort of numbers that facilitate that. Maybe it's the atmosphere or the way that we try to prioritize the presence of God, but there's something about, and I've heard story after story after story after story for the last 18 years of people who've come in broken, but they've been healed by the presence of God. And I'm not saying we've got a monopoly on that in any way. We're not better than anyone else. I'm just saying that in the presence of God, this is according to scripture, there is liberty, one translation says, freedom, another says. And so this is not just a space for connection. This is going to be a space for healing. Luke was talking earlier about Audacious Foundation, and he was telling just two of the projects, A-teams, Tuesday nights, Thursday mornings, and every night of the week out on the streets. He was talking about the pop-up grocery that we're now making a permanent feature in some of our campuses and locations. The reason why we're doing that is because this is a space for healing. And food insecurity is a pain in the heart of this city. And if we can do what we can towards helping with that, we will always go as far as we can. The extra mile, the extra 10 miles. We've got a whole toolkit of resources that you may or may not be aware about in our church. We do a course called Keys to Freedom, 8 sessions, just helping explore what the Bible says about living in the freedom that Christ paid for on the cross. We've got a 12-month course called Celebrate Recovery that runs all through the year in our church. At least twice, if not 3 times a year, we do our well-being course. We have a ministry called Anchored in Hope, supporting those who are struggling with infertility or perhaps even have lost a baby. We have parenting courses, marriage courses, pre-marriage courses, 20-odd couples getting married this year. Well, not this year. I mean, like, in the next 12 months. We're working on a program and a whole host of ministries to help families of children who have special educational needs and disabilities. We're here because we want to help. We want to heal. And we want to help. And that's really the third point, space for help. It says if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So it's a space for connection that God's bringing us into. It's a space for healing, and it is a space for help. We are here as a church, not first and foremost as a good organization. We're here as a family. And if you're in our church for the first time today, or you have got like a full collection of loyalty stamps audacious start. Like, you've been here every Sunday for as long as you can remember. Wherever you're at in that journey, you just need to know that as a leadership, and really the heart of our church, is that we are here to help you. We've not got it all together. We don't have all the answers. But what we will do is we will get the resource that God has given to us, and we will use it to help you and the people of this city. In a growing church like ours, it is possible to walk in and walk out without really connecting with someone. And that breaks our heart. We know that it happens, and we spend like hours and hours, don't we, Daz? Hours upon hours trying to think of new ways to just give you guys visibility, not just on our heart, but on the actual practical stuff that we have to help you. Please don't leave church today without asking a question. Let me just tell you, just give you visibility on one thing. This city has 3.1 million people in it, and there's people in our church from every single one of the boroughs of Greater Manchester, and of course beyond those boroughs as well into the surrounding counties. And so we've always had versions of this, but I just wanted to give you a fresh look. We have borough pastors. So every borough of Greater Manchester has one or two people who are responsible for thinking about those that live in that borough from our church, praying for those people who live in that borough from our church, and also able to help if you need something. You need prayer, you need support practically. We're here to help you guys. So I'm just gonna go through them really quick. If the pastoral team are in here this morning, when I say your names, just stand to your feet. This first kind of five boroughs over to the west-ish side and south. Jordan and Amy are helping us with leading that. This is Jordan and Amy. If you live in Bolton, then we have Bunmi and also Martin and Carol. If you're in Salford, we have Adam, who's just over there, and also Paul and Asher Watson. Stockport, we have Elaine Sharp, Herbert and Bessia, Trafford, Deb Cooley, Joan and Olu, and also Manchester. Who knew Manchester was a borough of Greater Manchester? There you go. Oh no, I'm on the next slide already. Just keeping you on your toes. Wigan! Stan and Vicky Shaw are in the room somewhere. And listen, if you live in Blackburn or up into Lancashire or across in Warrington, down in Cheshire, Macclesfield, across in Ormskirk, Merseyside, wherever you come from, these people and more like them are here to help you. You don't have to remember all this information because I'm going to give you an email address in a second. Just have a look at the other side of the city, John and Julie helping us with this. This is Julie. John is currently leading the home course over in the office that we were talking to you about before. So if you live in Bury, then Debbie Walters and Jacqueline are your borough pastors. Rochdale, Phil and Louise Hudson. Oldham, Steve and Jenny Webster. Tameside, Nick and Stephanie Riches. And Manchester. Shall I do the same joke? Who knew Manchester was a part of Greater Manchester? Doesn't quite have the same. Anyway, this is Stella, Manny, and also Caroline. They are all wearing today, and often on a Sunday, wear these green lanyards, okay? These are some of our pastoral team. And we just wanted to remind you about that. We also have our Connect pastors. You guys remain standing. We have Connect pastors for Africa, Toba and Abimbola. Toba is over there. Latin America, Lincoln and Pamela. I'm not sure if they're here today. If you're from Brazil or Argentina or any of those places. We have Mick and Wendy oversee everything to do with marriage in our church just down here. Also, Derek and Victoria, you already met our young families, Connect pastors. We are here for you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All right, give these people a great big clap as they sit down. If you need help, come and talk to us. If you can't, you don't find us, you haven't quite got the words to say, then just email us, pastoral@audaciouschurch.com. And there is a whole army of people, mostly volunteers, but they feel called by God to help us with this endeavor, which is to create a space where you can get help. The fourth one, as the band come up and join me, is space for partnership. It says if two lie down together, then they can keep warm. It says one can be overpowered, but another one can defend. There's something about a coming together in agreement that is powerfully illustrated in this scripture. And what happens is when you come together in agreement, something is produced that becomes permanent in your house. I want to just for you to consider for a moment how you might partner with us in this new space that God is bringing us into. Last month, we had our first of this academic year in-person gatherings for prayer. We call that Armed and Dangerous. And last month, we came together, we prayed for 2 hours. It went like this. And I just want to say, hey, if you want to partner with the vision of our church, that is one way that you can do it. Come on Tuesday night. It's this Tuesday. October's Armed and Dangerous is this Tuesday, the 14th, 7:30. There's no nonsense, no messing around. We just get in here and we just pray for 2 hours. We're going to be praying for the city. We're going to be praying for the church. We're going to be praying for the vision of our church. We're going to be praying for you, and we're going to be praying for me. If you can't come, don't worry. We'll be praying for you anyway. If you can come, great, help us. But this is a way that you can partner with us. Would you come this Tuesday? It's going to be fantastic. Also, this is something we've been saying for the last 6 weeks. On your seat, you'll find one of these vision brochures. Would you grab it for me? Maybe you've not seen it. You're here for the first time. This is for you to take away. This folds out into a whole load of information and hopefully inspiration as well about the vision of our church. I just want to remind you that next Sunday is Vision Sunday. This is where we as a church family are going to come together and we are going to celebrate 18 years of Audacious Church. We're also going to thank God for what was in the last 18 years, but we've also got our eyes fixed on the future. And we recognize that what God is doing in this city is not limited to our today, but he wants to do more tomorrow. And you've already heard from Pastors Glenn and Sophia that the way that looks in this campus, like I said, 7 different campuses and locations, but our Manchester locations, kind of like the next big thing for us is that we are going to build a new building. You may have experienced the fact that there's not a lot of room in this auditorium, in this service and the next. You may have experienced when you come into the car park that it's a bit of a squeeze, and we recognize that there's many more people that God wants to bring to him through the vision of our church, and so we need to do something. And you will know the story, most of you, because we've been talking about it for the last 6 weeks. But next Easter, we're going to build a brand new 13 meters out from that wall and 5 stories up, a brand new building, the first phase of our new building. It's going to be amazing. You saw some images of it on screen before while Pastor Glenn was speaking. I think we have an image as well coming up on screen of the outdoor, outside of our new building, phase one. And you need to know that this is a space for others. It's a space for others, but it's also a space for partnership. And we want you to prayerfully consider. I know many of you have, there it is. Many of you have been praying as individuals, as families, as groups of friends about how you can contribute to the vision of our church through giving. We know that many of you give week in and week out, your tithes and offerings, but this is like a special push that we're doing and we'd love for you to be a part of it. It's going to cost £5 million to build that building. But thank God, through his faithfulness and yours, over the last few years, we've already raised £4 million. And so we need to raise £1 million in 10 months in order to be able to push through not just phase one, but phase 2, 3, and 4 of our new building. And over the next 10 months, we're going to keep you updated and let you know. You can imagine we're going to celebrate. We're going to party like it's 1999 when we put a shovel in the ground next Easter and actually start building this thing. We're going to see the goodness of God grow brick by brick out there. But we just want to extend an invitation for you to be part of it. So next Sunday, we're taking what we call our vision offering, where you can commit, you can promise and say, hey, we're going to give this as a family over the next 10 months. We broke that £1 million down into some sort of bite-sized chunks just to see if it helps you say, hey, this is a challenge that we want to step up to. We want to rise to the challenge. There's different amounts that you could give monthly over 10 months, and we're just believing. And the reason why we can put this up and not be awkward about it is because we've seen God do it before. We've seen the faithfulness of God again and again and again. Look at us. Look at what we're doing. We were in another building, a quarter of the size of this auditorium, let alone this building, just a few years ago. And God has brought us on this epic journey. And we just believe He's not finished yet. So we're asking for you to pray. We always say when it comes to these special offerings that you would sacrifice luxuries, not living. We're not asking you to do anything like that. We want you to give by faith, not by credit. We're not asking anyone to get into debt or anything like that. But just to look at what God has, the resource God's put in your hand, and say, okay, here's how we're going to contribute and give into this offering. Be radical, but don't be reckless. And then really, we just want you to pray. Do this prayerfully. Pray with your kids, if you've got kids in church. Pray with your spouse. Get some of your mates from church and just pray about it. Say, okay, how can we do it? Next Sunday, all four of our services are going to be just a repeat. It's going to be full, more presentation about the building, more details that perhaps you've not seen yet. And we're going to take a moment in worship to come forward, put our offering into the bucket and say, yep, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord in this way in our generation. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, would you stand to your feet? The fifth point is that this is not just a space for connection, not just a space for healing or help, not just a space for partnership, but it's a space for God. We recognize that when we create space for God, He always fills it. So where you are right now, as the worship team come forward and we just enter this moment of worship, would you raise your hands and join with us as we sing? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.